the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Texts 57, 58. Dhritarashtra Nujaparita Bhishmo Drona Pritayamo Narado Bhagavan Vyasa Sambandhi Bandhava Bandhun Parispajyayadun Soridaklina Chetasa Yayu Vidaha Krishtena Padesham Chapare Jana Dhritarashtra Nujaparta Bhishmo Drona Pritayamo Narado Bhagavan Vyasa Surit Sambandhi Bandhava Bandhum Parisvajyayadun Soridaklina Chetasa Yayur Viraha Krishtena Spadesham Chapare Jana Dhritarashtra Dhritarashtra Anuja Dhritarashtra's younger brother Vidura Arta the sons of Pritha Bhishma Drona Pritha Kunti Yamo the twins Nakula and Sahadeva Narada Bhagavan Vyasa Personality of God at Vyasadeva Surit Friends Sambandhi Immediate family members Pandava and other relatives Bandun their relatives and friends Parispadya embracing Yadun the Yadus Sorida out of feelings of friendship Aklina melting Chaitasa their hearts Yayu they went Vidaha because of becoming separated Krishchena with difficulty Spa to their respective Desham kingdoms Cha also Apare the other Janaha people translation. The Yadus were all embraced by their friends, close family members and other relatives, including Dhritarashtra and his younger brother Vidura, Pritha and her sons, Bhishma, Drona, the twins Nakula and Sahadev, Narada and Vedavyas, the personality of Godhead. Their hearts melting with affection, these and the other guests left for their kingdoms, their progress slowed by the pain of separation. Dandastu saha gopale brihatya pujaya chita krishna ramo gras en nandye nyavatsit bandhu vatsala. Translation: Nandamaha showed his affection for his relatives, the Yadus, by remaining with them a little longer together with his cattle. During his stay, Krishna, Balaram, Ugrasena and the others honored him with especially opulent worship. Vasudeva Nujaso Tirya Manurata Mahanavam Suridvita Pritamanam Nanda Mahakare Spishan Having so easily crossed over the vast ocean of his ambition, Vasudeva felt felt fully satisfied. In the company of his many well-wishers, he took Nanda by the hand and addressed him as follows. Sri Vasudeva Vacha, Vrata Ishakrita Pasho, Rinam Yasneha Samgita, Tam Dushya Jamaham Manye Surana Piyoginam. Sri Vasudeva said, "My dear brother, God himself has tied the knot called affection, which tightly binds human beings together. It seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it." Heroic leaders of men try to transcend their petty attachments by force of will, while introspective yogis pursue knowledge for the same purpose. But the Lord's illusory energy Maya is much stronger than any conditioned soul. Only by taking shelter of Krishna, the Lord of Maya, can one become immune to her influence. So, for those who haven't been able to attend the classes, this situation is at Kurukshetra. On the occasion of a solar eclipse, all the residents from Dwarka, Krishna, Balaram, and so many others come all the way to Kurukshetra, a holy place. And already many sages were there. The residents of Vrindavan took advantage of hearing about how Krishna was coming. They also, Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, the gopis, Srimati Radharani, all came to Kurukshetra, of course, to see Krishna. And purpose was that the inauspicious effect of the solar eclipse could be counteracted by the performance of various yajnas, ceremonies, and so on and so forth. After this had been done, Vasudev had requested the priests, or the sages, to perform another yajna for his benefit. And along with his wives, he sat in that yajna, and that yajna was to repay the debt to the devas. And it was mentioned that when one is born, one has so many obligations in life to the parents, to the devas, to the sages, to society, and so many things. So, but of course, the devas are very important. So the sages performed various yajnas. They, of course, worshipped the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Vishnu, as the first and foremost worshipable object in the yajna, but simultaneously they are worshipping the devas. So this was done in a very elaborate way, and everyone was very satisfied. Vasudeva was very satisfied. He took his bath in the holy lake after the completion of the yajna, and now they're all leaving to go home. And Vasudeva, of course, he's saying here, we can see how many great personalities. Just a few are mentioned here. Dhritarashtra was there, Bhishma Dev was there, Pandavas were there, Vidura was there, Kunti, Vedavyas, Narada. So many had come to this place, Kurukshetra, to participate in these ceremonies. Now everyone was returning home. But Nanda Maharaj stayed, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan stayed a little longer, it says here, together with the cowherds. During his stay, Krishna, Balaram, Ugrasena, the others honored him with especially opulent worship. So, Nanda Maharaj was worshipped by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Nanda Maharaj was in the Vaishya community, and the others were in the royal order, but we see how they are worshipping him. We know that, of course, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva are related. They're like stepbrothers. The same father, King Surasena. King Surasena, one wife was Kshatriya, other wife was Vaishya. So to the Kshatriya wife, Vasudeva was born, and the other Vaishya wife, Nanda, was born. Of course, later on, Nanda himself married a Vaishya woman, Jasoda. And so he became... That family became known as the Vaishya family. So, but the relationship is there, they're like brothers. And, but Vasudev and all the others are worshipping him. And Krishna, Ugrasena, Balaram honor him with especially opulent worship. Of course, Nanda Maharaj is the father of Krishna. Mother Yasoda, the father of Krishna. So they worshipped him. Vasudev is saying that my dear brother, God himself has tied the knot called affection, which tightly binds human beings together. Great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it. Of course, the relationship of Vasudeva and Nanda and Krishna and Balaram to everyone else, that is not mundane relationship or mundane affection or attachment. But of course, the point can be taken that mundane attachment, mundane affection is very entangling in the world. In one sense, it's natural for those who are here in the world in various family situations and friendships and society and so on and so forth. There's naturally affection in one sense. But this type of affection is not ultimately natural, because real affection exists on a higher platform, on a spiritual platform. And so the affections on the material platform are very temporary. You're affectionate with one another, but that can come and go. You know, you have attachment, you have affection. You know, the husband loves the wife loves the husband. I love you, you love me. You know, but then 6 months later, they're hating each other. They want divorce, they want separation, everything like that. I love you, I love you, and then I hate you. Get away from me, I never want to see you again. It can be like that. Quite often it's like that. So mundane affection, mundane attachment. Of course, you know, in the Varnashram social structure, affection is not denied. One has to have affection. But we should try to have affection and attachment on a spiritual platform, and not be caught up too much with the mundane affection and mundane attachment. One is going to be very frustrated in life if everything is based on mundane affection, mundane attachment, mundane emotion. You know, our lives become ruled by that, and we're thrown around this way and that way and all over by this stuff. You know, and mundane compassion, mundane attachment, mundane affection. Pasangama dinam pasamatmana kavayovidu saiva satasokrita mukshad varama pabritam. There's one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every learned sage knows that the mundane attachment, mundane affection is the greatest entanglement for the conditioned soul. But when that same attachment and affection is pointed and directed to the great sages and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mokshadvam, then that attachment and that affection opens the door of liberation. So, you know, affection comes from somewhere. And Vasudev actually said, God himself has tied the knot called affection. So, that is there in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has great affection for all of us. And the living entity, in his normal spiritual condition, has great affection to Krishna. So there's that wonderful reciprocation on the spiritual platform. But now, coming to this world and forgetting about Krishna and just pursuing a materialistic life, that affection becomes tainted. It's not purely spiritual anymore. It becomes selfish, actually. Instead of selfless, there's no real selfless, you know, emotion or affection in this world. Prabhupada says that maybe, you know, the mother for the baby she's very selfless or something like that. There are some instances where you can say, oh, it is very selfless, but still there will be some selfishness there. You know, it won't be totally like that. But in the spiritual, there's selfless affection. There's no, one is affectionate, you know, without condition. You know, in this world, you know, you're affectionate if, you know, there's some sort of reciprocation which you want, or you're attached, or you like this person because of certain things. Because they're you like this person because they're giving you money, or they're providing you with many things, or when you go together somewhere and you share the same types of ideas for sense gratification, so therefore, someone is your friend. There's all these things, attachment, affection, friendship, emotion, they all exist on the spiritual platform, but now in this world, they're all twisted around. And that's all going on according to the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna. And someone in the Tamaguna is especially those emotions and that, all those relationships is very much covered over and affected in a very distorted way. These things are manifest. Very distorted way. So a friendship, just like friendships, I think I was it here or somewhere else, just like a, you see sometimes, just this morning when I was going for a japa walk, of course today's a holiday, so last night, a lot of people were out and about, and I guess going to parties or going here and there. And this morning I was walking and there were all these kind of drunk people kind of staggering all over the place. Just coming out of the pub or something like that. Just coming out of the club. So they're like singing and, very happy with each other. But in the next moment they can change. Quite often you see that. The drunks, they're friend, you're my friend, like this, like that. But then the next moment, they're fighting. Crazy thing. Well, sometimes you read like that. The friends were drinking. I was just reading an article the other week. The friends were drinking together in the house and all night long, and then they got into an argument, and then they fought, and one so-called friend killed the other friend because they got in the fight. And one picked up something and boom on the head with the other one, and he's dead. But they were friends. They were friends. How one friend can do that to the other friend. So this friendship in the world is very shallow. Very shallow. I remember when I became a devotee, all my friends didn't come around anymore. few of them. Some even became devotees. But many of them, I thought my friends didn't want to associate with me anymore because now I was doing something totally different or they didn't agree with it. So, we find like that it's all based on personal consideration, relationships, personal consideration. So it's very, very entangling. Yatakito patskaranam samyoga vigamoiha ichtayokritu shyatam thayvisachchana nunam. This is all arranged, these relationships is all coming about by the karma, who you are friends in the previous, and maybe again you'll be friends, but of course, how you're going to be friends, and maybe in human life, or as dogs, or cats, or who knows. Well, sometimes we see. And someone's so, they're so attached to each other. They're twins. We can understand. But the twins are those who are very attached to each other and they came back in the next life as twins. Or maybe they're so attached. I read about the baby in the China or someplace like that with the two heads. Oh no, the one face, wasn't it? The one face but the two. Was it one living entity in there?
Two heads in one body.
Two, like two faces in one head. So that must. And then there was some that are joined together. When they're born, they're joined together. And then they. There's just one. They just did some operation on some child that was born attached and they separated. So we can understand that these living entities are very attached to each other. They're born together. They're so attached, right? I remember years ago seeing on the front page of the paper in China, one baby was born with two heads. Yeah, baby girl, two heads, and there was front page of the Sydney Telegraph. I saw in the ages, and one head was crying, the other head was sleeping. Isn't it in India, someone up in Punjab, there was some baby born? That was that one with the two faces on one head.
They worshipped it as a goddess.
And the father said, well, we can feed any mouth, so that's one good thing. we can feed this mouth or that mouth. But he was very philosophical, said, well, what can be done? God has given us like this. Okay, but the surgeon said there's no question of doing anything as far as surgery or anything like that. We can't do anything. Is it? That is like two faces and then one head. Well, what can be done? So the God said, well, he's a very special person. The other one in the South India, is it? The Lakshmi, they called the Lakshmi. She had the four hands or something like that. But I think they've removed, isn't it? They call her Lakshmi. So we can understand some situation of the karma that, you know, that some of the two are so attached and they, you know, they come together in the next life as the twins or you know, like that. They're, you know, like identical twins even, identical. And generally are identical, they're very, either twins or identical twins especially, are very attached to each other, like they're, through the whole life they're very attached. So these attachments can come from, they come from former lives to this life, they can go on to next lives also. They keep us very immersed in the material world. So we, you know, the devotee, we have to purify that attachment instead of just on the mundane platform. Mundane compassion, mundane curiosity, all these things and emotions, you know, mundane curiosity, mundane compassion. You felt very sorry for a person and then you went to try to help, but then you yourself were in trouble. Isn't it? And so, you know, all these things can be have so many consequences. So God tightly binds the human beings together. And no one can overcome these things. Who can transcend feelings of affection and attachment and friendship in the world? Is very, you know, quite often that the people cannot give that up to become like devotees and pursue a life in Krishna consciousness. It's too difficult. You know, our attachments can be very strong to these things, and it can be to other people it seemed very trivial, but to us they're everything. I remember one girl in Adelaide who was thinking to become a devotee, but she was very attached to TV. So, you know, he said, well, the devotees are not always watching the TV. You kind of have to give up the TV. He said, oh, I can't give up the TV. So, well, you know, it's either TV or Krishna. He said, I'll take the TV. She never became devotee. Many years ago, when I was the president. So, you know, the attachments can be, you know, someone can be attached to the silliest thing. And lose your life over it practically. Lose your life, you know, you have a thing and it dropped in the ocean or something like that, and you go in and then you get swept away and killed. I read a story like that. He had this thing that he was keeping for years and somehow or other he dropped it and off the pier or something like that. He jumped in and, you know, there's a big rip or something and took him out and he died because of that silly thing he was attached to. So these things, and therefore it's mentioned here, they're kind of petty attachments. Now, some things we think are petty, some things we don't. It's all kind of relative. It's relative. You may think it's a very significant. The other person looks at it, it's this attachment that he's got or she's got like that. But everything is actually, every attachment in the world is keeping you in the world. You know, I always remember when one man was asking Prabhupada to read his palm. Prabhupada said, we don't do these things. Remember, he was insisting, one Indian man, Swami, please read my palm. He said, all right, give me your hand. And Prabhupada, he was looking, hand right there. All bad. So we get these horoscopes done. I call them horoscopes. It's more horoscope, but I call them horoscopes. Certainly a chart of horror in the world. What's good? It's all relative. One thing's good, the other, you know, what's good for you is not good for the other person. It's all relative. So the devotee has to learn how to transcend all these things. It's not that the devotee is callous. No, the devotee understands, as is sensitive, the most sensitive, the most, has the most emotion, but in the spiritual sense. Love. It's like people talk about love, but where is that love in the world, actually? The love. People fighting, the cats and dogs. And even love between the husband and the wife, and the father and the son and the daughter. You know, we see so many problems. Even though I think I might have mentioned one time before that, Prana was telling me that there was one survey done, and the conclusion is, as far as family situations, that families live together more or less as not families anymore. They just happen to live in the same house. Happen to live because everyone's got their room and they're, you know, they all look at the computer in there and a whole everything like that, and they never come up. They never do anything together. They hardly do anything anymore together. So it's not like families used to be where they did things together. They don't even eat together because their husband's working, the wife's working, they come home at different times, the children are at school, so they're all eating differently. I read one thing here in Melbourne where the father, he wanted to talk to his son, but the son hardly ever came out of the room, was always on the internet. So he emailed him so he could do that. After email, that's how the conversation was going on. Is there in one room, the other room? So people happen to live together in the same house. And that now we're reading that more and more people are choosing to live by themselves. More and more people in this country, and many countries in the world, are choosing to live by themselves because, you know, relationships are so difficult. So-called love, affection, quite often turns bad. You know, you come together, it was good, but then somehow you change and the other one changes, and both change. So you go in and out of affection. Very difficult. So, how to live in the world? It is said, you know, normally for people, because devotees, we're living a certain life, you know, on a spiritual platform. But normally for people, they follow Varnashram. And how to live the life? You do your duty. You do your duty. There's some affection and attachment. We have affection for our family and everything, but we turn everything to the direction of God consciousness. And then that attachment and affection become very spiritual. They actually become very deep. Very, very deep. And these feelings, Nanda and Vasudeva and all the personalities here, Krishna was there, they're very spiritual emotions. They're very deep. And they're always, you know, these feelings are going to be, are there forever. Not that you're friends with someone and then later they're your enemies, or you love someone and then you hate them. This is all of the material world. So this is the reality of affection and attachment and friendship and all these types of things. These others, they come and go. Now, Vasudeva, he's saying here that he's feeling sorry. Now he's seeing Nanda after a long time. He's feeling very sorry that he's neglected Nanda. I think Nanda was the elder brother. Nanda was more elder than Vasudeva. First it was Nanda, and then Vasudeva. So Nanda was elder than Vasudeva. So Vasudeva was feeling very sorry that he hadn't seen him. And he felt very sorry even from before when he was in Mathura, and that Nanda was there, and Kamsa was sending all these asuras, and he knew that they were being persecuted in Vrindavan, and all these asuras, and he didn't do anything. Of course, at that time he couldn't do anything. Kamsa was so overpowering. But then, now since he's been in Dwarka, he felt that he'd been neglecting Nanda for so long. He didn't do anything. And he actually, later on, he actually says that we've been blinded by our opulent position. and we have neglected you, who you are our brother. And so easily people in this world can be blinded by so many things, and we forget what's the most nearest and dearest things to us. We are pursue so many things in life, our careers, money, position, power, and we neglect or cause disturbance to our very precious relationships. And this is the way of the material world. Become a Janmaishwara Sutta Sibir Manamanapaman Naiva Hatikan Bitana Tamakinchina Gucharam. There's one verse that there are many things that cause us to be like that, but especially mentioned Janma, Janmaishwara Sudashi. Janma, you can be born in a very big family, very high family, and because of that you treat others very disrespectfully. Even though they are your friends, but you think you're in a more superior position to them, and you treat them very badly. But because of your family or your position by your family connections and so on, by your money. So people become very intoxicated by money. Friends who were friends before, one friend gets a lot of money and then he just disregards the former friends. See, so by money we become very proud, become puffed up because we have money, we think the money is us. We are the money. Before I didn't have any money, I was a different person. Now I have money, I'm a different person than what I was before. So money can blind us. And we can do all, people can do all sorts of things in the name of money. And we see in the world today this, how money is driving everything. In the American dollar we have "In God we trust," right? They should put "In money we trust." "In money we trust." If you have money, then you can do so many things, you think. Although I was reading an article that they say I don't know how they do these surveys and things, but they say that this is one from America, that the happiness level of people in general in America has gone down in the last 50 years. Even though the society there has become more prosperous and opulent. They say that now, from 30 years ago, the houses are twice as big. And people have more cars in the family. The father has a car, the wife has a car, the son has a car, the daughter. So many things have increased. People have more money, they say that. People have bigger houses, more cars, better jobs, more pay. But yet, the happiness level has gone down. So where is the happiness? Even the materialists are concluding that these things in themselves, although they say they are important because if you don't have a certain amount of facility, then it's also, they say, that it's seen that people become very depressed. But it's not these things in themselves that give you the happiness. So, we can have a big house, we can, be very opulent, but these things can blind us to, how we treat others. And, careers, everything like that. I read one article by one CEO who had been to the top and then also come down and now was suffering like anything. And he said, one comment he said was that, he said, be careful who you trod on the way up. Be careful who you tread on. Be careful who you tread on the way up, because they're going to kick you on the way down. That's a very interesting comment. You see, because you're going up, upward momentum, and everyone's up. Everyone wants upward momentum. More money, a bigger position in the work, and then to get it, they have to do all sorts of things. And then I read another thing. I don't know how they come to this. Another survey was that it's found that if you want to get to the top, it's actually more successful if you're nasty than kind. So they put out all these things out. You have to be mean and hard, and then you can get to the top. But if you're too nice and too kind, then you never get there. People just walk all over you. They fail like that. But that's the way society is. In one sense, you can understand why that might be the case. Your society is like that. You know, in the school, people are taught right from school age. You know, no one is taught, you know, I know in some many countries, not many, you know, some few countries, they're taught, and the children are taught, you know, moral, sort of morals, and be kind to people, be tolerant, all this stuff. But, you know, in many Western schools, none of this sort of thing's taught. Go to the top, be aggressive, get there first before he gets there. Isn't it? And by the time you get to university, so much competition. You know, you have to do better than the other one. Otherwise, if you want to go ahead further. So these things are ingrained right from the childhood. So then when you go into the workforce, how are you going to be like that? So opulence, Jain Maishra, Shruta, Shibi, oh yeah, Shruta, oh yeah, learning. Oh, you're, you know, behind your name is now, you're a BA, MA, PhD, or you're a very important person. Let us all bow to you. The Shruti, the learning, become blinds you to so many things. You are just before, you are just this, but now you're BA, MA, PhD, now you're a different person. You're superior. So then you can do all sorts of things to people. You don't have to give them so much attention or respect. Shruta Shibi, Shibi means, you're very beautiful. You're very handsome. You're better than the others. The others are ugly, but you're beautiful. So therefore, you can just treat them badly. They are not in the same category. You are part of the beautiful set. The handsome crowd. Now, if you've got a few of these things together, can you imagine? You've got the beauty, the handsome, you've got the learning, you've got the money, you've got the family. And imagine how that is affecting your head. Especially if you're not new, haven't got any spiritual training. It's going to completely twist you. So Vasudeva, of course Vasudeva, he is not like that. But he's saying he's like that. He's very humble. I have been blinded by, you know, now we've been living in Dwarka, in the big palace, and you know, and I'm a king, and I've neglected you. So he's berating himself. He's very humble. But mostly people who are actually like that, they never apologize. They never like to apologize to anyone for anything. They're never wrong. Everyone else is wrong. They never admit to any wrongdoing. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says like that. That the materialists are like that. That those who are beneath them, they abuse them. Those on the same level, they're competing to get above. And those higher, I want to pull them down. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says like that. That's generally the attitude of the materialists. Don't like anyone high. They're jealous. A lot of jealousy there. Jealousy, envy. So much jealousy, envy, and greed. The greed principle has become very strong. Greed. How much money is enough? And there's never enough. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says like that. So when have you got enough? He was making a remark in regard to someone. He was encouraging someone to take up the devotional path, and he said, "No, just I have to get more thing, you know, and then I'm happy with it, and then I." So, but when is it going to be enough? He said, "Never." And then you say later, but when is it going to be later? He said, "Never." That means never. So later I will do, but later never comes, because when later comes, and then there's something else. But then later, when I'm old, I will come to the temple. Now it's time for working. Like that, I remember one young couple where they were coming, just newly married, and he especially was very, you know, inclined to come to the temple, participate, and come to class, kirtan. But then after some, I didn't see them. But then someone told me, "Oh no, the father and mother-in-law came, and they told him, no, now it's time for working. Temple is later." that he couldn't come anymore. They forbid him to come. Now you have to work and just make a lot of money. Well, you have to work. You have to do your duty in the world, but without attachment. Now, this is Varnashram. This is explained by Narad Muni. Now, a good description is given in the 7th canto by Narad Muni, and also in the 11th canto by Krishna. He's talking to Uddhava, and Narad Muni is talking to, I think, Yudhisthira. I forget who is Narad Muni, but he's speaking about the same thing. But they're talking about the Varnashrams, the Varnas, the Ashrams. Krishna says the same thing to Uddhava, what is the Varna? And he describes each one, how one should work in the world. And everyone, he says, you should work in the world doing your duty. Don't be attached to the results. You can do the work, but don't be attached to the results you leave to God. What is your work? How do you work? You work to the best of your ability doing your duty. That's it. That's how you work in the world. That's how you live in the world. Simultaneously, you're following your spiritual path. This is Varnashram. You're doing your duty. But now, in materialists, they don't see that. They are just and very attached to the results. They don't work unless there's something. Very, very attached. They want more, more, more. Greedy. But Varnashram means no. You work best of your ability. If you're, you know, whatever situation, Brahmana, or Vaishya, or, you know, whatever, ashram, best of your ability. Don't be lazy, person. You can never be lazy. Just God will do everything. Not like that. You have to do your duty and work hard. Now, devotees, of course, we're engaging in Krishna consciousness, not so much following of the Varnashram. The Prabhupada talked about Daivi Varnashram for the devotees, by example we show. And we're working very hard, but for Krishna. This is very pleasurable. Very pleasurable. We're working. Don't be lazy as a devotee. Don't think that, well, now I'm following the spiritual path, I don't have to do anything. I remember one time in Perth, that devotees cooked a big lunch, and they served Prabhupada, and then there was so much, and they talk. So much prasad, then after lunch they took a little rest, went for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. They were snoring away. Prabhupada was living in the same place. He came through. Then he called his servants and said, wake them all up. So he asked them to come here. He said, why are you sleeping so long in the afternoon? He said, the materialists, they are working so hard. We have to also work hard for Krishna. Don't be lazy. So we can't be lazy. We have to always be active, doing something in the service of Krishna. But we're not exactly. But you know, we're not attached to the results of the thing. Just the when Prabhupada first went to America, you know, he was. If you remember, if you read through the Lilamrita, he was writing back to the various devotees, please send kartel, please send Madanga, please come, Mangal Brahmachari. He was, please come yourself, and Mangal Brahmachari. Remember, he wrote a letter. Well, if you go, there's others have gone, and now you've gone. It seems from what you say, it's very difficult. You're not having so much success. And, you know, if I come, it is a failure. And Prabhupada wrote back, he said that, no, you've got the wrong idea. He said, just the service itself is success. The result, that is up to God. Krishna wants that to do something, then, if not, then, but just to do it is successful. But we're doing our service. Just to do it, that's success. All glories Prabhu ki jai. You did. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati was very happy if a brahmachari just went out and distributed one BTG magazine. Oh, you were so nice, you can read like that. There's many descriptions of how he was so happy. Oh, you've gone out. Thank you. Distributed. He's very glad. So if you're trying your best, what more can you do? Even in our service, you know, I remember sometimes when we were Sankirtan devotees distributing the books, you know, we'd feel very bad. Someone did, you know, 150 books, we only did 2. But we were trying our best. So who can say one is better than the other? Just like there was one story of Lord Ram. that there was one squirrel. And when they were building the bridge to Lanka, one squirrel, he saw everyone, all the Hanuman throwing the boulder, all the monkeys throwing the big rock into make the bridge to Lanka. And then he saw Lord Ram. He was a great devotee of Lord Ram also. He said, how can I help? So he went in the ocean, wet himself, came out and rolled in the sand. Then he went back and flicked the sand in the ocean. Just like that, flicked it in. So Hanuman said something that, just you were a little bit in the way here. And Ram, he chastised him. No, he is doing. And he patted the squirrel. Except from that time, the squirrels have got three lines from on their back from the patting of Lord Ram. Patted the squirrel. And Prabhupada here, I remember he said one time, he looked over to the Marajis, they were doing the garlands. He said, these Marajis, he said, these ladies, they are the best of the yogis. The yogis, they are meditating, trying to think of the Supreme Person. But he said, automatically they think, I am making a garland for Radha, I am making garland for Krishna, I am making for Jagannath, I am making for Gaur Nitai. He said, they are the best of the yogis. And then he said the pujari who is doing, don't think that one is, and if someone who is just cleaning the temple, that one is more higher than the other. The pujari and the one cleaning the temple. No, they are both doing their service. So we shouldn't think whatever position we have, we may have big position in the movement. I'm a big this, big that. There was one devotee who came, he said, I just want to be a big devotee. He said, well, big, that means Krishna. We are just small, servants of Krishna. And even though one godbrother of mine, he was saying to Prabhupada, he said, I am the most Maya, Prabhupada, I am the most this. And Prabhupada interrupted, he said, no, you are not the most anything. Krishna, he is the most. You are his servant. And we should always be humble. So Vasudeva, coming back to here, Vasudeva, he very humble. We can learn what is the humility of Vasudeva. He was thinking like that. Of course, he had always affection for Nanda. He was always thinking how to do something. He was very affectionate. So we can have a lot of affection for each other as devotees. When someone leaves, we're very, sad. But not in the mundane way. We're not going to cry and then go away from Krishna consciousness. That increases our Krishna consciousness. If there's everything in the spiritual world, even the jealousy can be there in the spiritual world. The envy, but in a good way. Just like the gopis envy Srimati Radharani's relationship with Krishna, but not in a bad way that they want to pull her down or something like that. They think, let us improve. And they're very happy to see that. So everything is there spiritually, but now in the material world, oh, it's all twisted, selfish. So instead of being selfless, we become very selfish. And as you're affected by the modes of material nature, especially the mode of ignorance, you become more and more selfish. So selfish, you don't care about anyone else. That's yourself. And even you become, especially those you see very, but they don't even care about themselves anymore. They'll abuse their own bodies and something. And the more and more you get in ignorance, the more selfish a person. And you get so much in ignorance, then you're too selfish for the human body, you have to go lower. Krishna puts you lower. You just see the animals and other species, they're just thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about others so much. Maybe their own family or something. But even if you go lower, they don't care, their own family doesn't care. So when you become more and more selfish, Krishna puts you lower. Lower species of life. As you become selfless, you come up. Come up. Human, deva, back home, back to God. Alright, I'll read this verse again. Sri Vasudeva said, my dear brother, God himself has tied the knot called affection, which tightly binds human beings together. It seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it. Any questions? Comments?
Maharaj, most of the time, like, people are not chanting, they don't do anything at home, but they casually speak, you know, Jai Shri Krishna, Hare Krishna, something like that, but they don't chant. So how should we encourage them so that they can come to this?
Your friends or?
Yes, my friends.
Don't bring them to the temple. When the chanting is going, then it becomes very, you know, they get affected by so many people. Just sometimes you're at home by yourself, and you're not so, but when you come and see so many chanting, then you become very encouraged. So by association, you become. Lord Chaitanya said like that. The two things are very important. He said chanting, Hare Krishna mantra, and sadhu sangha. Associating with the devotees. These two things go hand in hand. So you have to give them association with the devotees. More devotees. Just like, you know, when we go to Mayapur or something like that, we're doing service, but when we go to Mayapur, all the devotees are coming from all over the world, they're all dancing and chanting, we go in the kirtan. Before, maybe we're just standing in the back, or we did not like to come in the kirtan so much. But then when we go there, so many dancing, it has such an effect, and we immediately jump in. And we're dancing and chanting. So by association, even strong association. Very important. Yes,
Maharaj, we can understand from the scriptures that even this mundane love and attachment is still in the mode of goodness, and is a springboard to go to suicide or to pure goodness. So as a devotee, do we encourage a person to stay in that mode of goodness and springboard from that platform, as opposed to teaching people not to be too attached materially?
Yeah, you have to dovetail. Learning, there's a mention in the Bhagavad Gita. One has to learn the art of dovetailing things. We shouldn't disturb their mind by abruptly saying, "You're right, we cut it," because this they can't do. Only a few people can do like, and then generally they can't do for very long. They can do it. Well, sometimes people just cut out of frustration. They cut something. But then they again come back to that thing or do something a little similar. So then boga tyaga. So we don't say cut. We say dovetail these things in Krishna consciousness. So attachment to your family, yes, well, have your family become devotees more and more and more. Then that attachment and affection can become spiritualized. So we don't try to tell them to cut. Because some things are, you know, very detrimental. You know, something you just have to cut it. Someone in a very abusive situation or something like that. We try to dovetail, but if it's not doing so well, then sometimes we have to cut it. But generally, the general principle is dovetailing everything. Dovetailing everything, this principle is called Yukta Vairagya. I'm just reading something by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yukta Vairagya is very important. We're not like the Mayavadis, cut. You have to give it up. Go to the hill, go to the mountain, cut it. Who can do, especially in the Kali Yuga? So the ashram is becoming less and less and less now. No one can do it. But, he said, no, we're not like, we are Yukta Vairagya. How to use everything in Krishna's service, that means whether it's possessions or emotions or whatever it is, Yukta Vairagya, in Krishna's service. There has to be a balance. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur went on to, I think it was in Jivadana, he went on to say that but there has to be a balance even in that Yukta Vairagya, that using in Krishna's service, but being also cautious that in the name of using in Krishna's service, that we're not actually just trying to enjoy the mundane sense gratification. So there has to be a nice balance there of actually using things nicely in Krishna's service. Any other questions? Jai Ogo Suprabhupada Ki. Jai Radha Balabhati. Jai Radha Balabhati. Jai Radha Balabhati. Jai Radha Balabhati.